My name is Julie Zuhl. I am 50 years old. Today is July 7th of 2019, and I am speaking with my mom, Orletha Johnson. We are recording this interview in the state of Kansas in the USA. So to start off, Mom, can you share how your parents chose your name, Orletha Mae Johnson, Hoseapple?
Well, my first name, Orletha, they said that there was a neighborhood girl that had lived in their neighborhood, and she, how they referred to it was she was half Indian, American Indian, and they both liked the name, so against my maternal grandfather's wishes, who did not like first long names, they named me Orletha, but they gave me May as a middle name. Hoseapple is just the family name, which has been...
What's the origins of Hoseapple?
Hoseapple is a German name, which I think means rotten apple. And we were called Rotten Apple. Kids at school teased us about our last name. Most people mispronounce it. If they got anywhere close, you knew they were talking to you.
So your nieces and nephews learned to call you by your middle name. Can you talk about how that came to be?
Well, Orletha is not an easy name to say or to remember, and a child, it's very difficult. So when my brother called me Goofy, that was the name they were calling me, was Aunt Oofy, and my mom didn't like that, so she got them to call me by my middle name, which was Aunt May. And that has lasted their whole lifetimes and most of mine. It caused a little confusion at times, because if you're out in public and somebody calls you Aunt May and the other person knows you as Orletha, they wonder why they're calling you Aunt May.
Can you talk about where you grew up and what it was like?
Well, I grew up in central Kansas. I was born at Concordia, Kansas, as were three of my other siblings. One was born at Minneapolis. And it was very rural. Your neighbors were a mile away in most instances. It was a farming community. It's the part of Kansas where mostly, at that time, mostly wheat was grown. There was very little row crops. They did plant corn, and they shucked it by hand or harvested it. My dad would help neighbors with their corn, and he would had two horses that he put on a wagon, and you head the horses down the corn rows, and he could pick two or three rows, and the horses just kept moving on their own. They were taught how fast to go, and it was fun for us kids to go along with him. I don't know that we got much corn picked, but it was fun to throw the ears that he picked off and hit the backboard of the wagon, which the backboard kept you from throwing the ear corn over the wagon and having to go pick it up.
You were talking about your dad working for a farm and doing the corn. Can you tell me some more information about your parents and about them?
Well, my mother had a fifth grade education. She was the one that was referred to as the sickly one. My mother was a twin. And she was born prematurely. She weighed 2.5 pounds, and my grandmother's wedding band would go to her shoulder when she was born. My father quit the eighth grade because his dad needed him in the field, so he did not finish the eighth grade, but he was in the eighth grade when he finished schooling. Back when he was a child, and my mother too, the harvesting or crops that the family raised as a means of income, when they were ready to be done, the kid school was not important. It was for them to help with the harvesting. My father also worked in construction part of the year. One that I remember particularly was he worked at Salina, which was a 2-hour drive from where we lived. And then he worked 10-hour days, and then it was 2 hours back home. And he worked at the Smoky Hill Air Force Base, laying with concrete and doing runways at the air base. I think his wages were around $1 an hour and possibly 75 cents. I know sometimes it was all he got an hour. So he put in long days.
Like working at the Air Force, did he have to stay there, or was he able to come home in the evenings?
No, he drove back and forth. We did not see much of him when he was working there, because he would leave before we were up, and that left the chores to us kids. My older sister, Opal, milked the cow, and they were always afraid for me to get around the cow because I would get hurt. That was the same thing when we visited Grandma and Grandpa. They had a large concrete porch, and I couldn't go out and play because the kids jumped off of the porch, and every time I did, I hurt something or got scraped up. So I was made to stay in the house. Another thing I remember about my childhood was the snow. When we lived at what was referred to as the Hart Place, because we did move a lot. By the time I was 12 years old, we had moved 5 or 6 times, so we didn't stay at one place very long. And that always bothered me because it was hard for me to make new friends. I tended to be more shy than the other kids. When we lived at the Hart Place, we walked 1 mile to grade school, and the snow in the wintertime would get so deep that the drifts that was in the road, if you followed the road, you could drop down in a drift and then have to dig your way out. And I remember Dad would get the wagon and horses from Grandpa Shepherd's, and if they were needing supplies from town or we needed supplies, he would take the two work horses that they also used to harvest the corn with, or shuck the corn, would take that, and there was a horse blanket that if they allowed us kids to go with them, we had to stay in underneath the horse blanket to stay warm. And that thing was itchy. I didn't always go, but usually some of the kids would go with him. Now, most people had trucks or vehicles that once you got to a main road, you could go. But we always lived off on a low maintenance road, so the horses is what was used to get supplies to the grandparents and to us.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your parents? And do you remember a time when you felt particularly close to either one of them?
I was always Mama's child. And we had a close relationship in the younger years, but when I became 13 and had to, or left home to earn money, staying with an elderly lady, I got very homesick. Mm-hmm. My father was a strict disciplinarian. He expected you to be doing what he wanted you to do before he finished the sentence. But he was also a loving father, but a father that didn't always make the best decisions for the whole family.
So you just mentioned that when you were 13, you went to live with someone else. Can you kind of talk about how that happened and maybe some of your experiences there?
Well, the lady's name was Ma Wagner, and her husband had died 6 months prior. And she was 79 years old. And her only son was having to stay with her, or somebody stay with her at night. He worked for the railroad, so when he was out on call, that was hard for him to do. And she didn't particularly, Ma didn't particularly care for his wife, so that didn't always work out well. So they was wanting somebody to come live there, and a friend of both of the families got me the job there. And then I ended up the following year going there to stay permanently. I stayed the first summer. And then a year went by, and then I went to live there permanently. They offered to send me to school because I had quit going to school. I had been sick and got behind, and I did not like going back to school because we were made fun of. And so I went there, and they sent me to a Catholic girls' school in the next town, and she would take me each morning as she went to work, because she worked in this other town, Paola. And so I was a day student at the Catholic girls' school.
(Clears throat)
They were a big influence in my life and gave me more guidance than what my own parents was giving me. One thing I particularly remember that I learned that communication between all parties was important because my dad's sister, my aunt, passed away, and they came to get me and told me I had to go to the funeral, which was in the next state, Nebraska. And I followed my father's direction. And there was another person that was willing to stay with Ma Wagner. And so I left without telling the son and his wife that I was leaving. And when I came back, he was very upset. She never actually talked to me about it, but they had a friend that died that they had known for years, and as it would be, the person that was staying with his mother also knew this person, and that meant that one of them didn't get to go to the funeral, and he was not happy about it. He told me that I could either follow their rules and let them know what I was going to be doing if my parents wanted me to do something, or I could go back home and live with my parents. It was very hard for a 13-year-old to be pulled different ways by people that you did care about. But it did make me realize that you have to consider other people besides just yours.
When you were younger, what did you think that your life would be like when you were older? And has it turned out differently than you imagined?
I don't know that I... As a child, you weren't taught too much about looking forward. My parents did not look forward. They always dwelled on the past more so, especially my dad, who ran the household. In the days that I grew up, the man was the head of the household, and the women meekly followed along. Sometimes if you had a strong woman, it was the other way around. But my mother definitely was not a strong person until very late in her life. And after she went to work when my youngest sister was about 16, at least 16, and she did it against my father's wishes. She had money of her own, and he did not always like that. Or he would tell her how she had, try to tell her how she had to spend her money. And one thing I know she did was she got her hair done once a week or once every other week, and he thought that was foolishness.
So you don't strike me as somebody who is passive in allowing somebody else to tell you what to do or what not to do. Can you tell me maybe what made you different, or how that came to be that you were not similar to your mom in that way?
I would say when I first got married, I was very passive. And I tried to do what my husband wished and wanted. One thing, I was working when I got married, but he did not want my money to go into a joint account. He did put my name on his account, but he didn't want his on my account. And he said that was because his father ruled all the financial stuff, and his mother wasn't allowed to have any money, excuse me, except if she could. We later found out that she pigeonholed money, and we think she probably pigeonholed egg money, because they sold eggs to neighbors, and eggs was maybe 10 or 15 cents a dozen. So for her to accumulate the sum that we found after I married my husband, for her to have nearly $30, can you imagine how long that took? Myself, when he got sick, all of it fell on my shoulders, and I was glad that I knew as much about the farming and the income as I did. And I definitely did not follow his wishes as to how money was spent. Even about the before the time that he got sick, because if it was for the house, it wasn't anything that was necessary. But if it was for the farm, it was a have-to-have case. So I started out just prior to his of making decisions that I knew needed to be made for my children and for the betterment of them. Excuse me.
What would your hopes for the future for me be?
Well, not just you, but all three of you children. I would hope you would find happiness, that you find something to do that you enjoy, that you stay involved with family, even though it's getting harder to do with the more there is in the family, the more scattered they get and the harder it is to keep. But don't forget where you came from.
I will try really hard not to do that or to not forget. I wanted to thank you for doing this interview with me. It's definitely been a learning experience, and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. I see it was getting about a half hour.